Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, the 26th of June, 2012. Congratulations to the University of Arizona baseball team, winners of the College World Series. The fourth time that the Wildcats have won a national championship in baseball, but this team really is special. Unbelievable. I think they're only the second team to go through the College World Series undefeated, just making the sweep like that. What a talented bunch of ball players. And I don't follow baseball, but believe me, I was very interested and glued to the TV like everybody else for that ball game against South Carolina last night. We are on the home of the Buckmaster Show, and that is AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're live streaming the show on my website, buckmastershow.com, and at the station's website, kvoi.com, and you can hear our program. It is posted to one of three websites every day. By about two, we have it posted at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, carries our show, as does TucsonCitizen.com. We're live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. Our leadoff interview is with Republican Martha McSally, candidate for Congress in the newly formed 2nd Congressional District. 20 minutes past the hour, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman, who is in St. Petersburg, Russia, will be joining us for his Tuesday Moneymaker Report. 30 minutes past the hour, the serious and growing problem of veterans who are homeless and living on the streets in this country. It's hard to believe, but one in three of our homeless people are veterans. Mm. And we'll close out the show with University of Arizona Medical Research Dr. Richard Ablin. Dr. Ablin is the inventor of the controversial prostate test known as the PSA test. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, or you can check out our Facebook page, Bill Buckmaster, if you want to send us a question on Facebook. We'll be monitoring that as well during the show. Colonel Martha McSally joins us now in studio on the Buckmaster Show. Martha, good to see you.
Thanks for having me back, Bill.
Let's begin with the SB 1070. You were telling me just before we went on the air that you actually read the decision. What is 70 pages?
Yeah,
or something,
it's a little over
like
70
that?
Pages. Focused on the ruling that was unanimously upheld. The 2B ruling. I read the law and I read the ruling, which I would anticipate and hope that anybody would do if they're going to form an opinion on the law. So yeah.
I don't know if that was nice bedtime reading.
Well, that's the way my brain works. Like I said, if people are going to ask me for a statement like the Arizona Daily Star did.
And I'm going to do that right now.
Sure.
What were your conclusions?
Well, my conclusion was that, and I've said this before, that SB 1070 came about because Arizona is dealing with the fact that the federal government is failing. They're failing to secure the border. They're failing to pass comprehensive immigration reform. They're failing to enforce the laws that are already on the books. And we in this community are dealing with the security, the public safety implications, and the financial, fiscal implications on our streets. So I totally get, why SB 70 came about. From my role running as a potential member of the House of Representatives, I am committed that we have got to get the federal government to have the political will to address these issues that are their business to do. As far as the ruling goes, the unanimously upholding 2B, which is the controversial ruling of officers being able to check the status of individuals.
Yeah, the so-called papers, please,
right.
Provision.
Yeah, and again, I think it's important to read the actual law because there's a lot of misunderstanding. It's very divisive, as you know, in our community. It's divisive with our legal Hispanic residents here, afraid that they will be racially profiled, and I think we need to take that seriously. The ruling itself was about whether it was constitutional or not, and unanimously they agreed it was within the state's rights to partner with the federal agencies like they do on other things, and it was not preemptive in nature, which is legal language for the other three rulings that were rejected. But in this case, that was constitutional. So I agree with that, although I'm not a constitutional expert, that it's within the state's rights to do that. And now I've got, more extensive comments on my Facebook page about it. But now I think as we're implementing it, we have got to make sure it's within the limitations of the law. For those who don't know, That provision has three limitations. If somebody produces an Arizona driver's license, that suffices. The whole thing stops. The second thing is that they cannot be racially profiling, based on national origin, race, looks, anything like that. And the third is that it needs to be, protecting people's civil rights, so they can't hold them longer than is reasonable, all those types of things. So if those limitations are met, I sure would like to see, and I'd like to even hear from law enforcement, how they're going to be able to meet those limitations realistically. If you don't produce a driver's license, then how do you come up with reasonable suspicion? I know the governor put out an executive order on that, and there's been some training on it, and I certainly trust our law enforcement. But the comments I made on Facebook were, when I was a military commander, it was my job to make sure that I gave very clear guidance and rules of engagement so that my sergeants and my lieutenants didn't have to make large judgment calls on a routine basis that had strategic consequences. Because, mm-hmm. That's our job, to not put them in that position, mm-hmm. So that they don't have to try and make those judgment calls. And this, I am concerned that our law enforcement personnel are possibly going to be put in that position, to make those judgment calls. Maybe I'm missing something, but I think if it were me, if I got stopped and I was legally, you already have to be legally stopped, detained, or arrested, right, for some other reason, and I can't produce an Arizona driver's license, why don't you check everybody? Maybe I'm missing something that would be too, bogging down the system, and I don't know what those numbers are. Mm-hmm. But what makes me less suspicious than my Hispanic friend down the street who's here legally as an American citizen? I don't know how they're going to work that out. And I think those concerns of our legal Hispanic population here are worth considering as this gets implemented. And I'm just looking forward to seeing how law enforcement and does this smartly in order to protect our citizens, to enforce the laws that are on the books, which we need to do in order to address the issues of those who are illegally, and do it within the limitations of the law. So long answer, but I've put a lot of thought into it. And
you write about it extensively on your Facebook page.
Yeah, I do.
Martha McSally is with us. If you'd like to join the conversation, 790-2040. Let's talk a little bit about the discord. Is it over in the McSally campaign? And, of course, you had to let Sam Stone, who was with you from the beginning of your campaign, go over this odd exchange with the Barber campaign. And are there hard feelings from the Jesse Kelly supporters? There's been rumors going around that you and others have been tried to sabotage the Jesse Kelly campaign, getting Republicans to vote for Ron Barber.
Yeah, let me just be very clear. I supported Jesse Kelly as our nominee. I stood up and said that on election night. I've declared that on my Facebook page when people asked if I would even run again in CD2 if he won in CD8. I was very clear that I would step out. We offered lots of support to the Jesse Kelly campaign on multiple occasions by me personally. We're never taken up on that offer for I don't know why, except for sort of that public endorsement that I gave at the Unity rally to follow the campaign. There were people out there, I'm aware, who were not a fan of either candidate and when I heard about it, mm-hmm. were saying, hey, let's just do this so that Martha can be our option in November. Mm-hmm. I would immediately rebuke that whenever mm-hmm. I heard that. Did not sanction it, authorize it, or encourage it. And I have been under attack, as we talked about before mm-hmm. we came on. I have been dealing with lots of slander from some of my previous opponents and their supporters.
Folks saying some really awful things.
Really awful. I mean, first there, and I'll just get them all out there. They're spreading that I'm gay, which I'm not, that I'm pro-choice, which I'm not. And now the last thing they were spreading, as one of them was thinking about getting back into CD2, was that I was out telling people to support Ron Barber. These are all lies, Bill. They're lies. And this is politics is dirty. And my eyes have been open to it in my six-month exposure. And it's just sad to me because it's fratricide within our own party, to use a military term.
Yeah, that won't help in the battle ahead.
No, we need to unify as a party. And so these attacks and lies, they're not true. I pride myself as a, 26 years in the military of being someone who's got integrity, who is transparent, and my campaign is transparent. I've got core values that I hold very near and dear to me, and I was supporting our nominee. I was considering myself the relief pitcher, basically, if our nominee could not win.
And the Sam Stone matter?
Yeah, and so in the midst of all this, and keep in mind, Sam, I owe the CD8 campaign to Sam, so I am not throwing him under the bus, and I owe him a lot. And he was just very helpful for us to be as successful as it could be. Sam got on KUAT Roundtable three times between the primary and the general election, defending Jesse Kelly and speaking on behalf of him. When this Politico article came out on Monday, I was shocked by it. But also, having dealt with lots of slander already, I really felt like I don't want to react. I want to sort of get the facts and see if we can sort out the facts from the slander. Did that throughout the day on Monday. And by Monday night, even though this is not completely accurate, it was accurate enough to have me make a very, very difficult personal decision.
It would be too much of a distraction,
It would confuse the integrity of my campaign. And it was very difficult. It was an easy leadership decision. I've had to make decisions like that in the military before. I'll make them again if I'm in Congress. But it was a difficult personal decision because Sam was so instrumental. He's a good guy. He's a strong conservative. He had a lapse of judgment. He had a severe lapse of judgment, which, by the way, we're all capable of and we've all done in our own days in the past. But I could not have him associated with my team anymore. And I had to make a decisive, painful decision in order to accept his resignation. That's behind us now, and we're moving forward. And we have got to win this race in November. We have got to unify as a party. We got to get the slander and all that stuff out of the way because it's just lies. And we got to come together in order to support me now as the nominee or presumptive nominee for November. So I'm asking everybody to do that.
In all fairness, you do have competition in the primary. Mark Costanimi. Mark was on this program once before. We'll have him on again, as we will have you. Yeah. And I have no idea what the big issue will be between you and Mark. I don't know if there is anything that has emerged so far. But your issue, bottom line issue or two, will be for the whole campaign.
Hey, same thing as my last campaign, obviously. We have got to get this economy going again and get people back to work. We have got to get our debt under control. We've got to secure our border. The federal government needs to get out of its gridlock and do what the federal government's responsible for doing and not anymore with its constant overreach. And so, we have got to get the uncertainty out of this economy so that businesses can start hiring again and start investing the capital that they have. Consumers can start having confidence. So number one issue for everybody is economy and jobs. We got to be smart about turning our debt trajectory so that we're not on the road to Greece, which we're, in other countries in Europe. And we've got to address our national security issues. The most close to us is the border.
You heard me promoting at the top of the show. We're speaking with some folks about homeless vets. That's a really sad situation.
The biggest increase in homelessness are women. 35%
of homeless men and women are veterans.
And women are the highest percentage of homeless people. Women veterans are the highest percentage of homeless people in America right now. It's very tragic. People serving our country, sometimes deploying four or five times, coming back.
And
they're on the street. We've got to take care of this.
We will be talking about that at the bottom of the hour. Martha McSally, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me back on.
Okay,
great. Take care.
Coming up now on 1218 on The Buckmaster Show, we will continue. Shelley Fishman joining us on The Buckmaster Show live line from St. Petersburg, Russia, where it's about 11:17 in the evening. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan High Efficiency Water Softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan High Efficiency Water Softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan High Efficiency Water Softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:21 here in Tucson and 11:21 in the evening in St. Petersburg, Russia, where Shelley Fishman is right now. And even though we're a long way from St. Petersburg, I think Shell's got a little smile on his face. The market's up nearly 70 points. Shelley, how are you? How was your day?
The day is great, Bill. And it's almost 11:30 here. Of course, it's bright light outside because the sun doesn't set in June.
Oh, that's right. It's that kind of the late, late summer sky European sky over there. Are you having a good time?
Having a great time. We spent the morning at the Hermitage Museum, which is of course one of the great museums of the world, and then had a little opera concert from the Mayensky School. And then just got out for Swan Lake from the St. Petersburg Conservatory. So just got off the bus, which for the timing is really good.
All right, so you've had a full day. Well, Shell, the market is up, as I say, 70 points, mainly ahead of this key European summit that is coming up. You are in Europe. What is going on this week that's so important in Europe this week?
Well, it seems like they have a summit every week, and what's going on now is they're trying to put some meat on the bones of how they're going to take care of Spain, and Greece seems to be settling down a little bit, but Spain and I believe one of the islands of Greece, it wasn't Crete, it was one of the others that also asked for help, and so we have some problems here that just need to be worked through, but the truth is here right now the news is dominated by something that's much more important than the world economy, and that's the 2012 European sports events that are going now all over Europe, and of course soccer is the big thing, or what they call football. But that's what you hear about on the radio and the rest of the things going on financially be damned.
How is the Russian economy doing, Shelley?
Russian economy is not doing all that well, partly because the price of oil is down, and the Russian economy does depend very much on exports of oil. It's the second largest producer of oil in the world, I believe. But what's interesting is you get here to St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg, of course, is an old city, 300 years old. Most of the buildings that are standing now were built between about 1760 and the beginning of the Russian Revolution. It's the city of contrast, because in the city center, where all the palaces are, of course, it's gorgeous, and everything is being restored. But once you get a mile or so outside of the center of the city, then you can see, 70 or 80 years of neglect that they're just working on. There's an excitement about the Russian economy right now and the restoration. I mean, it's kind of capitalism gone rampant and uncontrolled. Reminds me, I was in Munich in 1972, so it's about also 20, 25 years after the war, and it felt the same way. Construction all around, and buildings shrouded in material to protect the streets below, and cranes everywhere. So, and of course, the German recovery proved financially very, very lucrative for those people who invested in it. And I think it might take a little bit longer here in Russia, but the same thing is happening.
Shelley Fishman is with us from St. Petersburg, Russia. This is the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Are they very welcoming to tourists? I know you still need a special visa to get into the country of Russia. How has the reception been from a tourism point of view?
Well, I spent a couple of days before I got on the cruise ship in a hotel, and I must say it's about as good as it gets. I mean, everybody is welcoming. Most people either speak English or try to speak English. The people in the restaurants were wonderful. It's a city dominated by young people on the street Saturday night at the Nevsky Project Prospect. All 20 somethings, yuppies out having a good time. It's a very life. There's just an awful lot of life around. There's nothing grim or gray about it except the weather, which rains a little bit every day.
Well, I know you're still following the market very closely, even though you are on vacation. And we've had a couple of pretty rough days here, Friday and Monday, very rough. But, there was a slight recovery, but the market continues to struggle. And your advice for those folks who are looking for the long term, what are you advising?
Well, I'm not changing my story, Bill. I'm sticking with it. I really believe that we're going to wind up the year about where we are now, maybe a little bit more. The volatility is going to remain. The headwinds, we've got an election ahead. Europe still has a lot of working out to do. The emerging markets are still slowing down a little bit. The price of oil has come down. That's a problem for commodities. I think gold recovered a little bit yesterday, but it's still struggling. So I don't see a clear trend. So my recommendation is defensive investing. You have to be invested. You can't sit on the sidelines, but you need to do it in a way that is going to produce dependable, non-volatile income, and that's bond funds and bonds. And that's what I've got most of my clients invested.
Folks who have been keeping the money on the sideline, it's not really doing them much good, is it?
No, you make less than 1%. You make 0.25% in a money market or less, and you've got inflation at between 2% and 3%. And inflation will pick up, not dramatically, but it will pick up. It's forecast to be in the 2% to 3% range for probably the rest of the decade. So if you're making less than 1% and inflation's 2% or 3%, you can easily do the math to figure out how much you're losing.
And interest rates, not an issue.
Rising interest rates will rise. The market will pull them up, but I don't think there's any issue in terms of unusually large spikes in interest rates. With demand as low as it is, there's nothing to pull interest rates up.
Shelley Fishman over in St. Petersburg, Russia. What's on the agenda then for the rest of your week, Shell?
Well, we tomorrow go to the Summer Palace of the Tsars, and that's kind of the Versailles of Russia, the Versailles of the North. And then come back and spend some time at the place, the palace, where Rasputin was killed. And of course, some people say he's still alive. then I think on Thursday we sail and start going down to Moscow. It takes 6 or 7 days.
Folks, get more about Shelley at...
I forgot,
790.
750, I have to be retrained.
Or buckmastershow.com. Shelley, have a great rest of the week.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. It's going to take a lot more than lower gas prices to get Americans feeling better about the economy. The price of gas is now at the lowest level in 5 months, a week before the July 4th holiday. It's now averaging about $3.40 a gallon, but a private consumer research group says its reading of consumer confidence is down for the fourth month in a row, and worries about unemployment, home values, and shaky stock markets are affecting it. The lead investigator in the Trayvon Martin case says that George Zimmerman could have defused the confrontation with the unarmed teen if he only would have identified himself as a neighborhood watch leader. Even though there have been some high-profile defections from Syria's military in recent days, U.S. officials say the military remains loyal to President Bashar Assad. According to the intelligence officials, the opposition remains fragmented. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's
12:34 on the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of our program is brought to you by Adobe House Antiques. Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. And the owner-operator, Penny, loves antique lighting. And I was over there on Saturday, and she has some amazing antique lighting fixtures, kind of one of Penny's specialties. She is located at 2700 North Campbell, very convenient to the Midtown area, and the phone number is 325-9439 for Adobe House Antiques. Stop by and say you heard her commercial on the Buckmaster Show. Support for our program also comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Well, the issue of homelessness, especially related to our veterans, is a serious problem across the country, and with more troops returning from the Middle East in the next few years, the problem is probably going to get worse. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, live line from Washington, D.C., is Major Brian Hampton. Major Hampton is the president of an organization called Circle of Friends for American Veterans. Major Hampton, thanks for being with us. How are you today?
Very good, Bill, and thank you and KVOI for having me on.
Well, we were just talking at the top of the program today with Colonel Martha McSally, who is a congressional candidate here and a highly decorated former fighter pilot, and she was telling us that the issue with women homeless veterans is a huge issue.
Well, Bill, the colonel is exactly right. It's hard to believe. It's hard to fathom, but the figures I've seen are 36%. Women unemployed veterans. I think that's because it's more or less of a recent phenomenon.
And why? What is going on here? We've got, 800,000 veterans that are still waiting in line to receive their disability claim. Give us an overview of some of the major issues facing our homeless vets.
I'm happy to, Bill. The situation is certainly very dire on our streets tonight, probably about 150,000 homeless veterans, men and women who served in uniform. There are probably, on an average, about 18 veterans a day who commit suicide. You alluded to the number of veterans waiting for their disability claims. There are probably 700,000 with some degree of post-traumatic stress disorder and brain injuries. The unemployment rate for young veterans is about twice the rate of their contemporaries.
Well, tell me about Circle of Friends for American Veterans, COFAV. How did you get involved with this group, and what is your mission?
Well, our mission is to affect public opinion, to affect public policy, and more specifically to help transitional facilities that do the heavy lifting for veterans, as opposed to the VA, which was never really constituted to help homeless veterans. Your good listeners probably know you have two great facilities locally in Tucson. We've had rallies with them there in Tucson, Esperanza, homeless facilities, and Coming Home. So what we do is we put the heat on the politicians until they see the light. We have a very, very lean staff of three or four people, a very big nationwide operation, and we work to get earned media to form public opinion that helps to shape public policy.
How about a lack of, you were pointing out in some of your material, due to a lack of competitive procurement contracts and unprocessed compensation claims for veterans, you say that $17 billion is being thrown away in this area annually.
Well, thank you for bringing up this most important issue, Bill. $13-14 trillion deficit. It's going to be very hard to get more appropriations for anything, least of all veterans. But what we found is, after doing this about 19 years, that the larger problem for veterans and American homeless veterans is the poor way that the VA is managing its $130 billion plus budget. The GAO has done a couple studies that you reflected, one saying there is just a lack of negotiation for competitive rates for procurement. There is about $9 billion lost. And then the VA, for years and years and years, has simply not filled out the paperwork to collect insurance fees for services provided for veterans that they could recollect from insurance companies. So maybe $15 billion that's wasted right there.
Major Brian Hampton is with us, U.S. Army infantry officer, retired. How did you get involved with this organization, Major?
Well, I'm from Michigan originally and enlisted in 68 at the height of the Vietnam War and had what some would say a successful career. But in the early 90s, I started getting kind of steamed by the way veterans were treated, and I thought, and I'm sure your listeners believe, Bill, that our veterans should certainly be a top five, top ten priority, but I perceive they're in the 30s or something like that. And so I wanted to form an organization that didn't have a membership, that would be nationwide, and that would have a media component, and would do something a lot different from most veterans groups that provide a very important service, and that is to work for important benefits, niche benefits. I wanted to affect public opinion, to affect public policy. So we typically, in a given year, may get tens of millions of dollars of earned media that affects public opinion to affect public policy.
Could you talk a little bit about these two facilities, Esperanza and Coming Home, here in the Tucson area that folks could actually help out locally?
Well, they're great programs. We've gone around the country. We've had a couple hundred rallies around the country. Esperanza, they're at eeeveterans.org. They have per diem contract with the VA, but it's only $30 or $40 per day per bed. The costs are three or four times that. They could certainly use the help. They're a good program. We've had a rally locally with them. Also, Coming Home. They're at cominghome.org. They have stand-downs twice a year helping homeless veterans. They have an accent on women homeless veterans. They're in a substance abuse program. So you're very fortunate that locally there you have two very vigorous and successful programs for homeless and American veterans.
We're talking with Major Brian Hampton, U.S. Army Infantry Officer, a reserve. And I want to talk a little bit about the way Vietnam vets were treated when you came home from Vietnam, and how are the vets being treated now?
Well, we know we were treated very well. I'm laughing about it now because I can't. It's so much in the past. Fortunately, the American people have long ago separated the politics from the service of the veterans. And regardless of how we feel about the history of Iraq and Afghanistan, we support the troops because the troops volunteered to serve, and they're standing up and putting their life on the line regardless of the politics. So that's a very, very positive thing.
What is the reason that these vets are winding up on the street? Is part of it psychological, or is it no unemployment available to them? What are some of the root causes, Major?
The causes for homeless veterans being on our streets is because, first of all, the skills are not transferable. Secondly, because, as your listeners know, it's a very dire economic times. And next, I mean, I served one tour in Vietnam. My contemporaries there maybe served one, two tours at most. But these current warriors were stretched so thin, three, four deployments, maybe two or three months between deployments. And in Afghanistan, any second of any day, any place, something very, very untoward can happen to you. And it affects you psychically. It affects you physically with all these IUDs going off and so forth. And the readjustment, unless you've been through it, is almost incomprehensible to imagine. You get back, you don't want to stand in a line at a theater or a convenience store. You're you don't want to go to a restaurant unless your back is against the wall. I mean, typically our brave veterans have financial problems, often health problems, psychological problems, substance abuse problems, and employment problems.
How can folks get more information about the Circle of Friends for American Veterans?
Well, we do have a website. It's vetsvision.org, short for veterans, vetsvision.org. We have an 800 number, if I could mention that.
Go ahead.
It's 800-528-5385.
One more thing about the traumatic brain damage. The injuries have been really horrible. That seems to be overwhelming the VA. Is that what you're hearing?
The Senator Murray from Washington, the U.S. Senator in charge of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, has conducted hearings. She's a real champion. She has cited some studies, Bill, by and a finding by the U.S. Court of Appeals found that, unfortunately, the VA is experiencing unchecked incompetence for treating PTSD. Only one half of these VA facilities offer counseling for PTSD. And so we need to hold the Congress accountable. It needs to provide oversight of these executive offices, particularly the VA. And I urge your listeners to ask candidates for Congress and other office, what are your priorities for American veterans?
All right. That's a question that we will try to ask all of our federal candidates here on the Buckmaster Show. Major Brian Hampton, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you indeed, Bill. My pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 1246 on the Buckmaster Show, we'll be talking about the controversial PSA prostate test. We'll be talking with the man that got that test pretty much off the ground in 1970. That's next when we continue with the Buckmaster Show.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Thank you.
12:49 on the Buckmaster Show. Are you looking for a cool weekend getaway? Here's my recommendation. Consider the arts and recreation-oriented historic community of Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, the mile-high elevation makes for very pleasant days and cool nights. So much to do there, exploring the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument and on, all sorts of great hiking and recreational opportunities. And there is no shortage of great places to stay, including the Pinos Altos Cabins. You can find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. One of the most controversial cancer screening tests is the PSA test for men to check on the health of their prostate. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Dr. Richard Ablin, who in 1970 discovered the prostate-specific antigen, which led to the development of the PSA test. Dr. Ablin is a professor of pathology at the College of Medicine at the University of Arizona Cancer Center and at the University of Arizona's Bio-5 unit. Dr. Ablin, thank you very much. Ablin, got it. Dr. Ablin, how are you today?
I'm fine. I get called worse things from my wife. So. But thank you. It's a treat to talk to you for a few minutes. I've seen you numerous times on PBS, so I appreciate the interest, and hopefully I can try to undo some of the controversy for some of your listeners.
Can we begin with the current controversy where doctors are being told that they do not need to perform the PSA test? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, all right. So first of all, the United States Preventive Services Task Force did a very lengthy and sophisticated analysis of several trials, we call them clinical trials, out there. And basically what they found was that the test does more harm than it does good. And that's the basis for their recommendations. And when they're saying more harm than more good, what they're meaning by this is that there's been over 1 million men that have been overdiagnosed and overtreated for prostate cancer. That is, they didn't need to be treated, and the morbidity, the side effects associated with the treatment of a man who didn't need to be treated are overwhelming, particularly what we call incontinence, the inability to control the flow of urine, and the impotency associated, the inability to have an erection or sexual intercourse.
Dr. Ablin, tell me, what would you take the test if
no.
you were having a physical?
No, I've never had the test. Now, if I could explain, there's basically four fundamental reasons why this test is a bad test. First of all, there's two uses to this test, which I think I try to clarify quickly. One is that when a man is treated, irrespective of the treatment, because of the fact that this protein that we call PSA, prostate-specific antigen, for which comprises the test, because this protein is only found in the prostate gland, when the prostate gland is removed or treated, radiated, for example, you are removing the source of this protein so that if following treatment you have a recurrence of this protein in your blood, that suggests that the cancer wasn't completely removed or there's been a recurrence. So that's a good use for the test. The other use, where we take asymptomatic men, these are men who have no symptoms of prostate cancer, and we screen them, the test is no good for that. Because, first of all, the test is not cancer specific. It can't diagnose cancer. Second, there's no level. A man can have a level of 0.5 and have cancer, and have a level of 11 and not have cancer. Thirdly, we can't distinguish between the two principal types of cancer. We call it indolent, meaning that it's indolent, it's not going to go anywhere, the patient is going to die from it, and the aggressive. And I make the analogy between a turtle and a rabbit in an open box. The turtle crawls around the box and goes nowhere, and we die with the cancer. The rabbit can jump out of the box at any time and spread to other parts of the body. But when we do this test, we can't determine whether it's a rabbit or a turtle. And fourthly, which is very important, prostate cancer is an age-related disease. For example, if later today or tomorrow you go out into the Tucson area and you gather 100 men and you do a biopsy on those 100 men, they have no symptoms. If they're between 60 and 69, for example, 65% of those men will have prostate cancer. And most of those men will have the turtle. So the point and the problem with the test is, why it's a bad test is that if you do a PSA test in those men and it prompts a biopsy, you're going to find, because it's age-related, that 65% of these men have prostate cancer. And what's happened is they've gone on in the past and they've treated these men, and the majority of these men didn't need to be treated.
So the bottom line is you're recommending don't take the test.
Right. Now, if you have a family history of prostate cancer, meaning your father had prostate cancer, the chances of you developing it are 2 to 1. If you had a brother, it's 3 to 1. So for those men, and for any man who wants to take the test, the way to do this is not to take a test, look at the level, and then all of a sudden go for a biopsy and find, as related to your age, that you may have prostate cancer, but then you don't know what to do with it. The way to do this is to establish a baseline. If you have that family history, you can get a PSA test. You write the number down, and then 6 months or a year later, you get another test, and you follow the course of this PSA. If you see the PSA is increasing, that suggests that there's something going on in the prostate, because there's 3 diseases of the prostate. There's prostatitis, which could be caused by an infection or diet. There's what we call benign prostatic hypertrophy. That's the prostate gets larger. We all start to develop this after the age of 40, and this gets us up once or twice a night to urinate. And the third, of course, is cancer.
Can we take a quick question from one of our callers? Let's go quick to AJ, I believe, is with us. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Doctor, and Bill. My question is there any new test for prostate cancer? And number two, what about the lab, alkaline phosphatase, the level of that, if that's too high? What's the normal range for that? Isn't that an indicator?
Okay,
and if there are any other indicators?
Okay, so in reverse order, I think you're talking about acid phosphatase.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, acid phosphatase can be elevated. The difficulty with acid phosphatase is that it's usually only elevated in the advanced stages of the disease, so that in the beginning, people tried to use acid phosphatase before PSA, and what they found was that to try to use it for early detection, it just didn't work because it doesn't get up to significant elevations until advanced disease. Now, as far as other tests go, there's several different institutions, and including myself, that are trying to develop what we call a marker, a better marker, for prostate cancer. And some people are looking at different genes and the combinations of these genes.
Gotta go.
Some things that are promising, but there's nothing yet that definitive.
Dr. Ablen, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan Water, offering the best drinking water out there. What is it about Culligan? Well, Culligan just tastes better. Also, the program is brought to you in part by our CPA friends at Flowers, Rieger, and Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway. Have a great afternoon. I'm Bill Buckmaster. We'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday show.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice, Good News Radio Network.